Thank you, Ruth Ann. That was only trust him. Only trust him, only trust him. Now, that is the Christian walk, isn't it? Learning to trust Christ. I would invite you to take your Bibles with me this morning. And turn to John chapter 17. We'll be looking at verses 20 through 23. I was saving my sermon illustration for this passage for the service in the park because I figured that the fire hazard that we're about to experience would be best in the park. So Chuck is here, and there's a fire extinguisher nearby, and we're going to like do the best we can. But so we have asbestos suits. The ushers are going to pass out in just a minute, so you're going to be fine. John chapter 17, starting in verse 20. Jesus praying in the garden. I pray not only for these, but also for those who will believe in me through their message. May they all be one as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. May they also be one in us, so the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that oneness is extremely important for us to understand and to be as we model Christ-likeness in our lives. So, Father, right now, we need you to help Jesus' prayer to be true in our lives, in our church, and in our hearts as we study and understand this passage and apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a Peanuts cartoon some time ago where Lucy was demanding that Linus change the TV channels for her because she was too lazy to get up and change them herself. She threatened him with her fist and said, if you don't get up and change the TV channels, here's what's going to happen to you. And Linus said, what makes you think you can walk right in here and just take over? And Lucy goes, these five fingers right here. Individually, they're nothing, but when I curl them all together into a single unit, they form a weapon that's terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? Linus said. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and he goes, how come you guys can't get organized like that? And I read that and I thought, you know, that's the deal for us with oneness in Christ. We know what it can be and we think, oh, if we could just everybody get together and then be so good. And sometimes it's challenging for us, but to realize that Jesus Christ came in this part of this prayer in John chapter 17, this is the overwhelming emphasis of the passage in John 17, is Jesus Christ prays that when He leaves and the Holy Spirit comes, that God will affect oneness among those He leaves behind. That's what He prays. Prays about one, over and over and over again. And by the way, John 17 is the only prayer in the whole entire book of John. There's places where it's referred to in John about asking the Father, but this is the one prayer in John that Jesus prays for His disciples, for those who would believe, for Christians, and He prays about oneness because He goes, that's what I really want. And He says it because when we experience oneness, we experience as well as model the glory of God, which is magnified by the oneness that we see in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And God says when the world sees their oneness, they'll believe. Don't you want to long for that? Whatever that looks like, wherever it comes in your circle of influence. Jesus said, may they be one like we are one. He said, may they all be one. May they be one in us. And then He says again, may they be made completely one. What does Jesus pray for when He prays for oneness for us? What is He asking for? It's the question that I want to answer this morning. There are several clues that we can use to define this. One, we know it has something to do with the Trinity. In John 8:22, Jesus said there, Oh, got the wrong verse. In verse 22, he said, I have given them glory, you have given me, may they be one as we are one. Jesus is referencing the Trinity. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul said, walk worthy of the calling you have received with all humility and gentleness, with patience, accepting one another in love, and diligently keeping the unity of the Spirit with the peace that binds us. And listen to what he says. Because there's one body and one Spirit, as you were called to one hope, with one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And the oneness of God and the oneness of Jesus and the oneness of the Spirit in the Holy Trinity brings us to a oneness in faith where we, though being different and separate and many, become one together. Like God, the Father is one. The focus in a Trinitarian thinking of oneness is the unity that comes, that we see in God. I think of Genesis chapter 2:24, where in the Old Testament, the writer talking about the first man and the one first woman, when they come together, the writer said, probably Moses says, and the two will become one flesh. If you go to any marriage conference or read any material on marriage at all whatsoever, you're going to be talking about oneness. They're going to say, what does that mean? What's it look like for two very different people with very different ideas and goals to be one? Marriage is a picture of oneness where two people, separate, different backgrounds, different sexes, different thinking, different ideas, different goals in life many times, become one as they melt together the objectives they have in their life for one common purpose. Ephesians 5:32, the Bible tells us that Christ and the church model oneness for us as well. I think I'll just turn there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Paul is talking about, for this reason in verse 31, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And then he says, the mystery is profound, but I'm not talking about Christ and the church, because he was using that for an example, but I'm talking about a husband and a wife loving each other. Paul uses the example of Christ being the head of the church as he's the Savior of the body. And now as the church submits to Christ, and he talks about what this relationship with Christ and the church looks like, modeling oneness. Our understanding of oneness must encompass all that the Bible thinks about when it thinks about oneness. Oneness has to do with roles and responsibilities, as well as unique differences in a common love or a common bond. I'm going to suggest a definition for you this morning of the oneness that Jesus prayed for. Bob, this is where I need that one slide that we came up with at the last minute so that you would have a little help. The oneness that Jesus prayed for is for us to obtain the full and growing commitment to a common purpose outside ourselves that redirects our passions and energy within our defined roles with respect of one another's diversity away from personal benefit and toward the corporate good for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. That's really a mouthful, isn't it? I know that. I'm going to go again real slow and I'll break just a couple words out for you. The oneness that Jesus prays for us to obtain is the full and growing commitment to a common purpose outside ourselves that redirects our passion and energy within our defined roles with respect of one another's diversity away from personal benefit and toward the corporate good for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. The key ingredients in this verse or in this statement are the full and growing. We know there's a sense in which we experience oneness and we have a full commitment to it. And if I asked each one of you individually, are you fully committed to oneness in the body of Christ, you would say, oh, yes, I am. But we know that we work on that it's a growing thing, and there are things that come in and tarnish that. Oneness that's full and growing. It's a common purpose. The oneness in marriage that we look at as a model, the oneness in the Trinity, common purpose being to glorify God, the oneness in the church. All of that oneness is wrapped around a common purpose that all of those persons in those situations come together for a common purpose so that the purpose becomes so big that the means and some of the ways that we get there become secondary by far. A common purpose with passion and energy, and we all have passion and energy, and some of you know there's people that are really passionate and really get crazy and excited about stuff. Others are kind of calm, but we all have a passion for those things that we love. And we can direct our passion positively and negatively, but we all have passion and energy, and we want to direct that within our defined roles with respect of one another's diversity. We are all different. It's not right or wrong to have lots of passion. It's not right or wrong to have this goal or that goal. It's not right or wrong to be a servant or not be a servant in a particular area in the church. It's right or wrong based on what God wants you to do with your gifts, with your energy, with your passion. So we want to respect each other's diversity. And we want to direct that energy and passion away from personal benefit and toward the corporate good. That's hard to do. It's easy to say, it's easy to read, it's easy to go, that sounds a good idea. It's hard to do because we find ourselves often wrestling with personal preferences and we stop and forget to think about the overall benefit of the corporate good. And the oneness that Christ talked about is saying, look, what about the overall objective of corporate good and not just my own personal preference? And we do all of that in oneness for the cause of Christ. What did Christ come for? Christ came to make us one. Christ prayed that we would be one. Christ came to redeem the lost. We do all of that so that we can accomplish the purposes for the cause of Christ. And all of that ultimately for the glory of God, which is seen in us when we accomplish what He prayed for. I want to illustrate this morning. And so, you guys come and help me. I want to illustrate this morning making peanut butter Rice Krispie bars. That's what this is here for. And I want to model and illustrate through this what oneness looks like. And the first thing I want you to know is that we must know the recipe. Now, I'll be honest with you. I went to make these, and I was making not a double batch, not a triple batch, not a quadruple batch. This is a batch of Rice Krispie recipes off my recipe times 6.6. This is a mega batch of Rice Krispies. Now, what I want you to understand is the Rice Krispies, this is just everything that happens, everything that we do. This is just the stuff that life is made of right here, all right? That's a whole bag of Rice Krispies. You guys come on up and wait right here. You got to know your recipe. You got to know your recipe. And I made these in the kitchen. This is not my first try because they didn't turn out very good the first time because I messed up the recipe. I turned a couple things around in the recipe and I got them wrong. And when I made them, I was eating them. And I'm like, I can't quite put my finger on it, but something's not quite right here. And I went back to the recipe and I said, well, I followed the recipe exactly. So I went back to the original recipe. I looked at the original recipe where I got it and I realized that I transposed some numbers on the way from the original to my times 6.6 and it messed up the bars and they weren't very good. You can make the connection, can't you? You got to know the recipe. And beloved, I'm telling you right now, when we get the recipe down and we look at the Word of God and we follow it and we say, what does God want for me? What's the recipe look like for oneness in my life, in my church, in my family right now? And we follow that recipe, it's going to be good. And if we get a sense that something's not quite right and the flavor's not quite there and we're thinking maybe we're close, it's kind of working, but it's not quite right, we need to go back to the recipe and look at that and say, what's the deal here? So you got to get the recipe right. You got to know the recipe. I just want to mention that the recipe that we have to have in our Christian lives is the honesty, the humility, and the submission and love that the Bible calls for, but never at the expense of truth. See, I got the number wrong in my recipe. It was the wrong number. It didn't work and the recipe failed. And sometimes we work so hard to have oneness or unity or love with each other that we do it at the expense of truth that we can't do that. You see, sugar is not rice and rice is not sugar and Karo syrup is not brown sugar and brown sugar is not white sugar. And so if my recipe has those ingredients, I have to have the truth. And Jesus Christ is God and that matters in our faith and it matters for oneness. The next thing, you have to know your ingredients. You want to find the butter there? Yeah, I know. Go ahead, put the butter right in there. You have to know your ingredients. Now, the butter's the first ingredient, and the deal with butter is this, okay? Butter is just good stuff, right? So, I don't have any metaphor for the butter, only just a little bit of butter is a good thing, and the bread and the pancake, I mean, anywhere you put the butter, this is a good thing. Seems kind of hot there, Jeremy.
I have no eyebrows.
Yeah. Is your tie flammable? Yeah. Tuck the tie in. You have to know your ingredients. The base, I said, is the Rice Krispies. It's everything that we do. We put it in the bowl. The butter just makes it good. But you know what we eat a lot of? Gosh, I'm going to dump this in. We need a lot of sugar. Go ahead and dump it in. You know, this recipe that I'm using calls for three different kinds of sugar. Yep, all of it. I got the white sugar, I got the brown sugar, and I got the light corn syrup garden club premium quality. You know what that is? That's just liquid sugar, you guys. That's all that is. And you know the biggest single ingredient in this recipe is the sugar. You got to know your ingredients. It takes a lot of sugar to be one with other people. A lot. I've got some peanut butter here. And the peanut butter is just kind of the unique flavor of the recipe. It takes some peanut butter, and you know, we could have marshmallow Rice Krispie bars. We could have peanut butter Rice Krispie bars. We could have chocolate Rice Krispie bars. But ours today, don't need that yet, just hang on, are going to be peanut butter. You have to know your ingredients. And as we look at the Word of God, as we look at our lives, we know that each ingredient is critical and that we have to have it. It takes a lot of sugar, a lot of sweetness to have oneness in the body of Christ, doesn't it? The next thing is you have to measure carefully. And I messed it up in my recipe the first time, but you have to measure carefully. You have to know how much. Now, the amount of syrup that Josh put in was not quite enough, so here's a little bit more. Put some more of that in there. You need lots of corn syrup. You have to measure carefully, and I've measured this out. This is 3 cups of brown sugar. Put that in. This is 3 cups of white granulated sugar.
He's done this before.
Get the brown sugar. I got this. Get the brown sugar.
I need your fan filling in on music.
Oh! Not enough sugar. We spilled a drop.
Sugar back in there. There we go.
You want to get the peanut butter ready to dump in just a minute.
All of it?
Yeah. Yeah, we're putting it all in, all the peanut butter. You have to measure very carefully. And if you can just focus for just a minute, I know this is very exciting watching these guys work here, but just try to focus for a second. You know, the ingredients are very critical, and all of us are a certain ingredient in the mix for oneness. It's really distracting, isn't it, watching these guys work? You know, we need a lot of sugar, and a lot of sugar is good, but all sugar doesn't work, right? We have to have a little bit of tartness, a little bit of difference, and there's some vanilla that we're going to put in. Not yet, not yet. Got to wait for it to boil. Wait for it to boil. And this recipe calls for some vanilla. Okay, no, not quite this much. I didn't measure this out. But you laugh because the vanilla takes a half a teaspoon for the original recipe, so the full recipe takes only 3 teaspoons. But I got like a gallon of Carol syrup and sugar in there, but a little bit of vanilla. You know, the vanilla is the flavor. It's the tartness. It's the thing that makes it taste just right. Can you imagine if I dumped this whole thing in, how horrible that would be? Can you imagine if I had a gallon of vanilla and a teaspoon of sugar? It would be unedible. Be terrible. And we need a lot of sugar in the body of Christ, a lot of sugar when we create oneness. And it's so important for us to know that. I want to be sweet all the time as much as I can. Be a little bit of this too. And it's so important as you work in the body of Christ that you know what ingredient you are. And some of you, I know you, I've known you for a couple of years, some of you are all sugar. God bless you. It's so fun to be encouraged and hear the sweetness all the time. And some of you sometimes are not all sugar, but sometimes there's some tartness in there, a little bit of this right here. And we need that in measure, and I do that too sometimes. I want to be sweet and kind, but sometimes I have to say hard things, and I want it to come in little tiny doses with lots and lots of sugar, so that you can accept it. And that's an important part of measuring carefully and knowing what ingredient you are when it comes to oneness. You know what else? It takes heat to put it all together, doesn't it? If we dumped all this in the pan and Jeremy and Josh stirred it all up really nice without heat, it would taste horrible. It's the heat that we put on the ingredients that bring it all together and make it taste good and put those ingredients into one unit. Someone said one time that it takes two things to unite ingredients, to freeze them or to heat them. Let's not freeze our ingredients. Let's heat them. But we know that the heat must come, and there's going to be some difficulties and some challenges, and we're going to put some heat to those. Oh, it's coming. It's coming. We're going to put some heat to those ingredients, and it's going to blend them together as we work together in the body of Christ. The end result, if we get it right, is we'll have yummy bars, right? We'll have yummy bars, and people will see the oneness, the sweetness, the flavor, the ingredients that covers everything that we have in life. And they'll say, that is for the glory of God. I want to be a part of that. Now, we're getting close to boiling. This is the danger point. Is there no spatula?
No.
I think there is. Yeah, get that peanut butter ready. Just clomp it right in there, big time. Okay. Oop. Not yet. Not yet. It's looking really good, guys. It's just boiling. It's just boiling. The heat is on. The ingredients are boiling. Go ahead. Don't splash it, because it would be painful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Put her in. Put her in. I was guessing at that ingredient. Yeah. Yep, keep stirring. You're looking good. You can wipe it on his spoon. The whole jar, just the whole thing. And stirring and stirring. Yeah. You know, as I was preparing this, I was intrigued by the kind of the extra message of the work that we as your pastors, Pastor Josh and Pastor Jeremy, and I as your pastor will do as we work together to create this ingredient list that we have as different people in the body of Christ to come together and make something that's yummy for the glory of God. I thought it's kind of a model of here as we work and stir and plan and stir and stir. Can you get any more out of there? Oh, yeah. 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 Oh, yeah. Yep. Stirring. Lots of stirring. That's my job. I just sit back and I just tell Josh and Jeremy, stir, stir, stir. Yes, stir the pot. Oh, it smells really good, doesn't it? We got her. A little lumpy, stirring. I think you're there. I think it looks just right. You'll need that spoon to stir with. Okay, dump her in, big guy. Okay, here goes.
You want to stir
it
warm?
Yeah.
Oh! Found a lump.
Sorry. Got her?
Yeah.
Here, wipe it out really good. Oh! Yum.
This is some initiation.
Hey, Josh, you guys just keep on going with that. Just. That's good. That's really good. You know what? We get the recipe down from the Word of God and get our ingredient list and know who's what, measure very carefully, and understand that we need a heat to blend it. It's really good. While they're stirring, if I can get your attention back, I know it's distracting because they're doing such a fun job over there. Just keep on going. Just keep stirring and stirring and stirring. You know, there's one question I want to ask. Somebody might say, what if I don't like bars? Think of oneness in the body of Christ and think about how Jesus Christ came and died to pay for sin, to model Christ's likeness for us so we could do that, so that we could be one in the body of Christ. And some would say, you know, I don't really care about oneness. I don't like bars that much. Well, that's a serious problem, because if we are Christians in the kingdom of God, we have to want what Christ wants for us, and Christ wants that oneness. If you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I just really don't care that much, I would encourage you to think about the gospel, about Christ's sacrifice in your life. Okay? You ready to dump? Yeah. Let her rip. You all right? Your hands getting too hot?
No, I'm good.
You all right?
Yeah.
You all right?
We're awfully close to the edge there.
Okay, yeah, put that pan somewhere. Okay. Okay. Tim Turry's getting really nervous right now. Yeah. Okay, now. Scoop it on. Scoop it on. You want to know what I want us to pray for in our church? I want us to pray for the icing on the cake. Because you know what the icing on the cake is? The icing on the cake is when we get it all down, we get it all together, and it's just right. And then we just know that we got it right in that yummy chocolate. Oh, look at that. Yeah, it's kind of melting kind of down in there, isn't it? Yeah, somebody's thinking they put that on too soon, and they were right. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, wow. Every illustration has a weak point. Let's not do the third one. Let's save that one for the kitchen. Yeah, just do what you can with that. Yeah. Wow. You guys are doing a great job. Pray for the icing on the cake. The icing is that last part that just everything is right. During World War II, Hitler commanded all religious groups to unite so that he could control them. Among the Brethren assemblies, that was a religion, the Brethren. Half of those in the Brethren churches complied with Hitler and they united together in the state church, and half of them did not. Those who went along had a much easier time in the war because they were complying with Hitler's request. Those who did not go along with him faced harsh persecution, and almost every family of those who resisted, there were persecution and someone who died in a concentration camp because they did not cooperate with Hitler. When the war was over, the feelings of bitterness between those two groups ran very high. The bitterness for those groups that participated in Hitler's religious plan and the bitterness of those groups that did not participate, who were persecuted and went to concentration camps and saw their families divided and killed, the bitterness was deep. When the war was over, the leaders in that church got together and decided there must be a way for them to come together and remove the bitterness. And so they planned a quiet retreat for the two groups of leaders. For several days, each person among those groups spent time in prayer, examining his or her own heart in light of Christ's commands. And then they all came together. Francis Schaeffer, who tells of the incident, said, he asked a friend who was there, "What did you do then?" And the man that he asked said, "Well, we were just one. We just were." We confessed our hostility and bitterness to God first. We yielded to His control. The Holy Spirit created a spirit of unity among us, and love filled our hearts and dissolved the hatred and healed the wound. And when love prevails among believers, especially in times of strong disagreement, it presents to the world an indisputable mark of a true follower of Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to struggle and to work and have some heat put on all those ingredients and yet for it to come out yummy. That's what I want for us. If you're honest and you're a part of this fellowship, it's what you want too. Beloved, oneness for us is to pray for us to obtain the full and growing commitment to a common purpose outside ourselves that redirects our passions and energies within our defined roles with respect of one another's diversity, away from personal benefit and toward the corporate good for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. Would you make that your commitment with me today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart right now that You would be kind to us and smile on us and that You would give us that which brings You glory, namely oneness, together with each other in our families, in our churches, in our relationship with You. Oh, Father, please give us that spirit of unity and oneness together that transcends human reason and means that God truly is doing a work in our hearts. In our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.